Hi, I'm Danielle Kading, and you're listening to Hear Me Out on Wisconsin Public Radio. Glad to have you all with us on this Friday before Christmas. Julie Buckles is the author of Paddling to Winter, which is about her 1,700-mile canoe journey from Lake Superior to northern Saskatchewan. She lives on the south shore of Lake Superior with her husband, two kids, and kennel full of Siberian huskies. She's spoken with me yesterday by phone on her picks for books to read for those who have a chance to wind down over the holidays. What do you have on your list, Julie?
Well, it's been a really fun year for cookbooks. And even as the country, apparently, according to statistics, cooks less and less at home, the sale of cookbooks are through the roof. And I don't know if people have been catching, there's best lists and the 10 best cookbooks of the Midwest and the 10 best cookbooks in the country, and New York Times puts out their list, and Star Tribune put out their list, and I have to say, I'm also just seduced by, I do cook a lot, but I'm also just seduced by the stories around the cookbooks, and so I'll talk about two that I think are just fantastic, and they're regional, and have so much more than recipes, and I think that's kind of the big thing with cookbooks is, if you remember, like, Water for Chocolate, you know, it was this really rich, seductive narrative. And then included were little recipes. And I think that's the type of cookbooks we're looking at now, which is the story behind the food and around the food comes together with recipes that, if you do cook, you could make. And if you don't, you can just enjoy the stories and the photographs. In the case of Mary Doherty, who is a resident of Bayfield and also a very, very good friend of mine, and she did a cookbook through Wisconsin Historical Press that came out in September, I believe. It's called Life in a Northern Town. And what she does is really blends together her passions, which are dogs and children and Lake Superior. And she's also an incredible photographer. And I think the cookbook really came out of, she has a blog, and she was blogging about kind of her life in a northern town, so it's perfectly titled. And as she was going along, she was growing a readership, and Wisconsin Historical Press just became very interested in that kind of story of how you tell the story of a community through food. And so Mary went around and really interviewed people in the region and, you know, the fifth generation of meat producers, cattle producers, you know, the people who fish, commercial fish, the lake, and really kind of put some depth behind the ingredients in her recipes and kind of the story around how she discovered the recipe, how she started to make the recipe. And she really is a nut about food. And so the recommendations I'm going to give today are ones that books that I'm giving out as gifts because okay. I believe in them that much. But like, I think I've bought almost 10 copies of Life in a Northern Town for people around the country because I see it as such a great way to show off this region. You can get it, read it, maybe make some recipes out of it. Great gift. You couldn't get a better gift. And so that's one of them. There's another cookbook that came out that I have not read yet, but I've bought as a gift, and I'm not going to tell you who is going to get it, but it's the Sioux Chef's Indigenous Kitchen, and that is by Sean Sherman and Beth Dooley. And Beth Dooley has a strong connection to this region. She's a Minneapolis Twin Cities author and food critic, food cook, food writer, and she's done several cookbooks, and one of her others that I can't think of right now is one of my favorites. I use her other cookbooks for my Swedish meatball recipe that I make on Christmas Eve. And so I always go to that every year. But I'm really excited about this book because it's taking Indigenous food and it's talking about the stories behind it and really kind of putting the Indigenous culture at the forefront of this book. And as it said in the promo, there's no fry bread, dairy or sugar. So it's a really good, wholesome food that's a more traditional kind of food. So those are the two cookbooks that I highly recommend for people.
Okay. And I'm just going to interject real quick here because Wisconsin Public Television is starting a project where they're looking at food traditions and exploring expressions of identity through food.
Yeah.
They haven't launched it yet, but they're kind of working to pull together all these different experiences of people across Wisconsin from any tradition they have, whether it's Jewish or Native American or African American, Muslim, all that stuff. So, but I didn't know that. I didn't know that cookbooks were kind of growing in popularity this year. What else are you recommending for people?
Well, this is a book that I started out with. It came out in February, and it's more in the mystery detective genre. And it's a fast-paced, I love mysteries, and I love detective kind of books. I don't read them all that often. They're in my mind, they're kind of dessert and a luxury and, you know, something that we would call a quote-unquote beach reading. But I also think probably really good for around the holidays where we're all really distracted and busy. And it's definitely a page-turner, but it's also so appropriate for the holidays because it's so sweet, is August Snow by Stephen Mack Jones. And it's the story of Detroit and about a cop who is no longer on the police force, and he returns home and things happen and he gets involved. But he also has just this very, very big heart. And so you can trust throughout the book that nothing really, really horrible is going to happen, which is something that's nice for this time of year to be reading. But I can't recommend it enough. It's another book I've given out this year just because I think for anyone, especially who maybe hasn't read a while, and I know there's so many people I hear saying, oh, I just can't get to books anymore, and they're doing books on tape. But right. This is really a book that will capture you from the beginning and take you all the way through and will get you back on the road to reading again. So,
what's the name of it again?
It's August Snow, which I love that title as well. And August Snow is the name of the main character. And I'm hoping, and I've become friends with Stephen Mack Jones via Twitter, and he tells me that he is planning this character to continue. So this would be, I think this is his first book, and August Snow may continue on into becoming a regular character in future books. And I couldn't have thought of a better name for a character than August Snow. And then in the genre of adventure, again, regional author John Lurie, Lurie, wrote a book called Canoeing with Jose. And for all of the listeners here in the Boundary Waters region, they'll be familiar with Canoeing with the Cree, which was by Eric Sevride in the early 1900s, about 1930, where he went from his hometown of Minneapolis and paddled all the way to Hudson Bay, a couple thousand miles. And what John Lurie did a few years ago is he kind of retraced with his own twists that route. It was a dream of his from when he was a young man. At the time of this book, he's divorcing or is divorced. I can't remember the details on that, but he has a couple children. And he's a journalist. So, Danny, as you and I know, journalists write really great books because they're tight and they're shaped and really fast-paced. And what he really does is, while he is a journalist, he is invited to The Circle, which is a Native American paper in Minneapolis, and he meets this to tutor teenagers. And he meets this young man, Jose, who becomes a good friend. And 4 years after they meet, so he's 15 when they meet, when Jose is 19 and John Lurie is in his 30s, they decide to take this journey of Eric Sevride's all the way to Hudson Bay. And what he does that I love with this book is he really tells the story of this kid who has never really been outside of the city. And he tells the story of Eric Sevride writing about this route in a different time period of the 1930s and the way that he talks about the indigenous people of the United States and Canada or ignores. And he, because his eyes are so wide open, he really kind of tells a different story, but he's constantly referring back to Eric Sevrite and how Eric Sevrite wrote about it. So what's great is, because my one fear with reading this book was that I would suddenly not like Eric Sevrite anymore, because Canoeing with the Cree is one of my all-time favorite books. But I didn't end that way. I just ended with a much better understanding of that route and the people there. And I just fell in love with this author and Jose, and so in love that I found him on Instagram. And I wrote and I said, I have to know how Jose is doing. And he wrote back and said he's doing great. He's in environmental landscaping or something like that. So that's a modern world. The wonderful thing is when you finish a book and you fall in love with it, you can find the author somehow. And if they're sweet, they'll write back to you. So
and connect with that character.
Yeah. So Canoeing with Jose, it came out this year in June by Milkweed Press. I think it was released into paperback. I just stumbled across it at a bona fide brick-and-mortar bookstore in Marquette, and just had not heard of it before, so I picked it up, looked at it, and thought it looked interesting. And I don't think it's gotten a lot of marketing behind it, because I looked for reviews. I haven't really seen much. And so this is going to have to be a word-of-mouth book, and so I'm really happy to here on Wisconsin Public Radio be talking about it, because I think it's a book worth picking up and reading for all different types of reasons, to learn more about Native American issues, to learn more about just humanity and our reconnection and disconnection from nature. That all comes through in this really, again, fast-paced kind of adventure book.
Any other genres, too, that you're focusing on or you've been...
Well, the one I'm going to read is in just straight old nonfiction, which is Death and Life of the Great Lakes by Dan Egan.
Oh, I've been meaning to pick that up.
Yes, he's a Milwaukee journalist, a very good one, environmental reporter. And he has written kind of this great book, and I think it's been chosen already by Midwest Sellers Press organization. Anyway, it's received many awards. It's getting great reviews. I've seen it in the libraries and in bookstore windows. And he is going to be on campus at Northland College in March for World Water Day speaking. But it's about invasive species and the shipping industry and the Great Lakes. So I think that would be great for any of us living here to give that book a read. I can't talk much more about it because I haven't even picked it up yet, but it is on my reading list for January, February. And he will be here March 19th. We're bringing him to Northland College for World Water Day.
Okay. Any other books, or you want to...
Well, in fiction, because I did do Mystery Detective, but I have one more fiction book and or the movie, is Brooklyn, which I'm guessing maybe a lot of people have already seen. I was late to the game. I think that movie came out last year. I know it's been playing on HBO because my mother at some point told me she had watched it 5 times. And my mother loves sweet, character-driven stories. And so I knew I would love it. And I was home alone over Thanksgiving weekend. And so I think it's on Netflix. Watched it, and I agree. It's really sweet. It's about a Irish young woman who leaves her community and Ireland and comes to Brooklyn and starts a new life. And it's just so subtle in the details of what it's like to leave home and create a new life. And I just loved it to death. And I understand the book is as wonderful. Someone just walked into my office before you called, Danny, and I have it sitting here on my desk and said, one of my favorite books. So Brooklyn, whether it's the movie or the book, I think, again, around the holidays, it's just a sweet story, and would highly recommend it.
And for those who may just not have the mental energy over the holidays to get into a book, you said it's on Netflix?
It is.
Okay. Anything else you want to add, Julie, before we, you know, head our separate ways for the Christmas holiday?
Well, I've been on the just in the movie theaters. There's a lot of comic book characters coming to life. And because I have an 11-year-old boy, I've been to see most of them. And I can say what they may be lacking, maybe in depth of character, in plot, maybe, is there is such great humor. And I think they provide a great outlet for just having a really good laugh. Thor was a delight, and I had no expectation. And I took my son and his friend, and we wore 3-day glasses, and I was just prepared just to be there. And I ended up laughing through the whole movie because there's some really solid humor in them, and Justice League as well.
Wasn't as so, painful as an experience for a parent as you thought.
Exactly. It was really fun. I you know, if you're going to take your kids to movies, those two were really great. And the one movie I am going to make sure that I get to see, because I am dying to see it, is Lady Bird. It's a story about a teenage girl and her mother, and it's gotten great, great buzz and sounds like a very fun and very true story about the dynamic between a mom and daughter. And from what I understand, it's take the whole family. And I've heard a few clips, and with my daughter, who's 14, and we both were laughing because we know that dynamic so well.
Yeah, you've got some personal experience there.
I do.
Well, thanks so much, Julie. I appreciate you sharing all of your picks for this holiday.
Yes, and thank you, Danny, and have a wonderful, wonderful holiday break.
Again, that was author Julie Buckles talking about some of her recommendations for books and movies to take in over the holiday break. When we come back, guest and career coach Marty Nemko talks about how you can take a break from any holiday stress you've been feeling in the last several weeks. I'm Danielle Kading, and this is Hear Me Out on Wisconsin Public Radio.